Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Both types of sports with Shoot and Tour. Football discussion on the internet.
Hello, 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 and happy Monday, friendos. It is both types of sports on the internet. Football discussions abound. And my goodness, what a week for it. What a week indeed. Caps off tonight with one hell of a game between the Kansas City Football Chiefs. Rich Eisen, I think today, said that the Lions are a better team than the Chiefs. I don't know. We'll see by the end of the night. There's Tor. Hello, Tor. How are you, buddy?
Doing good. I'm glad you pulled me in a little bit after the time. Kind of like Ezekiel Elliott. I'm big and fat and old. So you should probably just bench me and stop putting up with all my tardiness.
Why haven't they cut him yet? Like, why is he still a part of the team if what is reported is true and he doesn't even make the trip anymore?
The most confident I've been in a game all season was knowing that we had them.
DJ Moore is a giant pain in the ass, and I don't care that he can catch 1,100 yards with you or me at quarterback. I'd get rid of him, too. I don't know what some of these athletes are seeing. And I know, Tor, that we're not out there doing the practices and getting beat up and icing and having to do all that shit. But, I mean, maybe there's just more coverage of it now that I'm paying attention to NFL Twitter more than I have in my life. But the diva-like behavior, the walking off the field, the shoulder-checking your own quarterback, like, I've never seen shit like this. Combined with the fact that you're a fool if you hire a defensive coach. You're going to fire them in the middle of the season, as we've now seen a couple of times. I'm sure we're going to see it with Matt Eberflus at some point. This was a fucking wild week of football with some wild stories.
Yeah, I don't care if they're talking about, oh, DJ Moore sat down and he was limping or anything like that. In the middle of a play, I saw CeeDee Lamb take a nasty shot, and he took a bad lick going into half and stayed on the field just so his team could go up and try to rush and spike the ball and not sink the already sinking ship all by his lonesome. So this DJ Moore situation in Chicago, it's not working. I don't know if he's always trying to send like these mixed messages to Eberflus and company, but whatever he's not liking, he is making sure that everybody knows it.
Let's start there, I guess. Correct me if I'm wrong. It's not just Jaden Daniels is better than Caleb Williams, right? Like, we're not that dumb. It's not binary. Bo Nix has shown promise, although you're missing me with all the Bo Nix hype, especially. I was really glad that we had a measuring stick game for the Broncos this week, and we saw just where they measure up in the AFC. Like, I'm happy for Sean Payton that he got that information. Everybody's sucking off Bo Nix, but the people that you have around the young quarterback is equally as important. And I think the fact that Cliff Kingsbury was in the building at Chicago, and I guess the financials didn't make sense or something didn't make sense. If I'm Washington, and there's a lot of chesty Commanders fans out there, congratulations, you threw a Hail Mary to beat the Bears team that looks very mediocre and you were able to beat the Giants. I'm very happy for you. 7-2 is very, very impressive. But you have Cliff Kingsbury in the building. You lose to the quarterback that he's coaching up 1 week previously. Are we surprised that Caleb Williams comes out in the press conference and basically says, we still weren't over losing to the Washington Commanders that way, and we think that may have impacted our performance this week? That shouldn't be surprising to anybody.
Yeah, it's more disappointing. I think Bears fans are starting, and people in the building, they're starting to taste a little bit of the medicine that Washington has had to taste over the last 20 years, where if we're doing the rebuild and we just have to continuously watch other teams get it right quicker than us, and they're doing it in a shorter amount of time, and they're not getting fed the continuous load of BS from ownership or from the coaches or anything that would make you think, oh, that's just not right. That is not how you should be going about it. Chicago is still in that vortex, and Washington, while I don't think they're completely out of the woods, is definitely on the other side of the river of where they once were, looking onto the possible rebuild potential.
I mean, it's more than a rebuild, right? Like, if it's 7-2, it's more than that. And then the next logical question is, okay, what's possible this year? You heard me say this the past couple of weeks. It's like, if you believe you can win a playoff game, well, then you need to go up, maybe be the one trading for Deontay Johnson. Like, you need to be the one that's out there maybe talking to Amari Cooper. And I'm happy for Terry McLaurin. I'm happy for his success. But if you're ahead of where you were, living the world the way that it is and not the way that you'd like it to be. I always try to say that and try to live by that. It doesn't always work out. But to circle back to the Bears, I just feel like, Tor, they knew that Eberflus wasn't the guy. And the stat that everyone has just been vomiting up all over the internet today is they're 0-18 in road games, in Sunday games, with Eberflus as the head coach. They haven't won a road game on a Sunday since 2021. If you know that's the case, and you have a once-in-a-franchise life cycle here where the draft pick is yours, the Panthers are stupid, Caleb Williams, the next Patrick Mahomes is there, why are you not paying Cliff Kingsbury, who already worked with Caleb Williams, whatever? Why did you not go to Ben Johnson and say, look, I know you turned down a fucking gig. Look at what we have. Look at Roma Dunze coming in. Look at Keenan Allen coming in. Here is $12 million a year. Please come over here and bukkake your offensive excellence onto all these nice pieces we have and do it inside the division. That looks really foolish right now.
I think young GM Ryan Poles wanted to try to show some maturity and not get trigger happy and show that he's just a knee-jerk GM that's going to start firing coaches all over the place and start replacing. And he wanted to make the mature move, which was to ride out a vet. And I think that was also part to cover his own ass in this first year with Caleb Williams and say, okay, fellas, you know, this isn't my fault. The roster creation isn't my problem here. We're gonna blame the bat. Let Eberflus take this bullet. He's gonna be the bad man, and in the offseason, maybe we'll try to figure it out with another guy, which is awful because it's starting off a young rookie quarterback with multiple coaches. That's how the bad stuff starts. It's getting these guys multiple coordinators. That's when they start like getting overly analytical and confused in the NFL. How many times it's quarterbacks that keep on having different offenses, different schemes, different systems. They never fully blossom. And we're sitting here wondering why Patrick Mahomes is so good. Well, shit, he's been with Andy Reid his entire career. We could say everything we want about Eric Bieniemy, but we now know it's not the case. It's him and Andy Reid understand the system together, and he's been able to grow in that system. So I think that Chicago is just ready to bounce now and then I guess start all over in year two, rookie year 2.0.
Not the way to do it. I mean, just look at in your own backyard, Kirk Cousins, how much better he was year two with the same offensive voices in his fucking headphones in Minnesota than he had than any other place in the future, because he had some continuity, which is so difficult to have in this league with all the expectations being as high as they are. I pulled this up. So the Bears get the Patriots, but listen to this schedule, Tor. Packers, Vikings, Lions, 49ers, Vikings. I mean, that's your coach is going to get fired if you're slipping here. And I was happy to see Minnesota kind of punch their way out of the corner. I was falling into that. Okay. Sam Darnold is Sam Darnold, and he's coming back to earth narrative. So I was happy. And for the first half, that was still very much true in that game. He's getting the shit beat out of him by that Colts defense. But I think the Vikings are a playoff team, and I think the Bears are playing above their weight class. And I know this is a fucking reactionary take, considering they were one play away from beating Washington and being right in the thick of this thing. And who knows where their headspace would have been going into this week, but that is a murderer's row. And that is the toughest division in football. And they're going to separate the men from the boys. Chicago right now looks like the team that's going to be left out of the putting three teams into the postseason out of that division right now.
Yeah, and really looking at it, their wins against the Titans, unfortunate. The Rams, when they were banged up. Carolina and Jacksonville. Like, that's four pretty, if you were going to tell me that Caleb Williams was going to beat those four teams throughout his entire career, I would pretty much believe it. I'd say, okay, that's his baseline of how good
are he they is beating the Rams this week or last week? If they played the Rams, no, this they, week you know or last week?
They are not. Let me retract the Rams out of that. Let me get my foot out of my mouth there. But I think that he could beat the garbage teams, Carolina and Jacksonville, sure, and so on. But losing by 20 points to the Cardinals, who's still with Kyler Murray, I don't think know who they are. Is not
people good. Are on their jocks this week, man. Everybody was blowing it up, saying the West is the best division in the league again. And I don't know, man. I'm gonna have to see the 49ers kind of resuscitate their season. And I don't know what to think of the Cardinals, Tor. Sometimes they do look real strong, and some they've got superstars at a lot of position groups, but they play really inconsistently and seem to be Jekyll and hiding in the middle of games at times. But I'll tell you what, man, the ceiling of their potential, if Kyler is playing well, is pretty damn impressive.
Yeah, he's always going to be fun to watch. But I don't know if, like, the Cardinals being 5-4, if you told me the Cardinals are going to be 5-4 by week 9 in the NFL this season, right, I wouldn't scoff. I wouldn't like be offended if you were pitching that to me. But if you said they're going to be 5-4, they're going to rattle off 5 in a row after that, and then they're going to be really contending at the end of the year, I would scoff. I don't think that's possible for them. They don't have it.
They have games against Seattle, the Jets, Vikings, Seattle twice actually in 3 weeks. The Panthers and the Patriots are in there, but they finish up with the Rams and the 49ers. I mean, that's going to be for that division, I would imagine, that final 3 weeks of the season. I would be really shocked, Tor, still, if that's not the Rams division. They kind of weathered the storm. They played as poorly as they can. I know Puka got ejected for punching a guy yesterday, but getting Cooper Kupp back, and they can run the football and play defense, they're well coached. As long as Matt Stafford can stay healthy, I still like the Rams in that division.
Oh, I love the Rams. I love seeing Kupp get back. I think that their ability to tread water was so valuable. Yeah. It was that was coaching. That was strictly, however you want to chalk it up, you want to say, oh, they found depth in the draft, and that's what they do well. Okay, well, you still got to coach them up on Sundays to go out and not have 1,000 missed assignments in a terribly difficult league, at the highest that the NFL has ever been with strategy and analytics. And they're still going out there. They're not getting blown the hell out. They're fighting. And then when the guys came back, it's time to rally. They got their midseason break. Everyone was good going to therapy and doing the little arm treadmills and everything and sitting in the cold tubs. And now they're ready for the second half stretch. And I would be scared if I had to play the Rams.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to play them right now, especially when they have a mind towards the postseason. Hit the like button, you cowards. We do accept Super Chats. It is both types of sports. We're on Twitter and what is it? What is X now? And then Instagram addresses at the top, both types of sports. If you'd like to give us a follow. Lots of big stories this week, Tor. I do want to get to the Saints firing their head coach. Great week for you. Big win of the Falcons over an odious team, and the Saints are in absolute shambles. I want to get to the Ravens because I hate this term, but they deserve their flowers. Joe Burrow is playing like an MVP. But, you know, you have to start with the Cowboys, unfortunately, because you have to start with the Cowboys because it's just the way that it goes. And I forgot who said it, but somebody was hypothesizing that Micah Parsons could not sign his contract, could forego the pile of money from Dallas simply because I don't want to be a part of a rebuild. I don't want to be a part of this calamity. And the argument was being made, but it's the Dallas Cowboys and it's the biggest team. And it's I don't know if talking about the pileup is the same as prestige. And I think we've gotten to a point now with the Cowboys, and you tell me if I'm over exaggerating, or perhaps this is just wishful thinking, because I do like to see them fall on hard times and I love to see their fans in turmoil. But, as it says on the screen, first three-game losing streak since 2020. They have no identity, Tor. Their identity is Dak getting beat up, and if CeeDee Lamb doesn't go for 210 yards, they're going to play defense poorly, can't run the ball, and lose. Maybe Parsons, he seems to really enjoy the celebrity part of this. He really is confident in himself, I would say, to the point of arrogant. Some of the things I've said, maybe the star on the side of the helmet does mean a lot to him, but it was an interesting thought to have. If you could be, you know, the king in hell, or you could be a soldier in heaven. I don't know. I don't know what type of guy he is, but if I'm anybody who's thinking I'm going to go to Dallas and fucking win and be well coached, and I don't know, I definitely am pumping the brakes on that for the next couple of years.
If he had any balls, he'd go to Detroit. If he wanted to actually do it, he'd go amazing. To Motor City. Him and that psychopath, Aiden Hutchinson, would be murdering quarterbacks. Jordan, I would pick Jordan Love under 4 games in a season if he was there. But yeah, it is a tragedy, this Cowboys team. And we were noting it in early August that I still go back to Jerry paying Dak on the day of game one and sending that message saying, all right, big boy, this is your team. I didn't do dick for you in this offseason, but here's your money. Go win me some football games. I thought that was such nasty work, and it continues to look like it. And the Dak injury isn't great. The hamstring, people were worried about his hand. CeeDee Lamb's banged up. This is a bad team. Top to bottom, the roster is bad. It is, all right, it's CeeDee Lamb and Jake Ferguson show, and people are trying to sell me on Rico Dowdle. I'm not buying it. That is a piss-poor roster construction from a cheap, arrogant old man that likes to yell at radio hosts that are working 3 jobs. Like if that's where you're coming from, and that's the I have no sympathy for them. I genuinely feel bad for the fans because I mean, why? you couldn't have put together a worse team with more expectations this year. You really couldn't have. The lofty Dallas Cowboys going into the NFC East. You have a great rival that you can root against in Philly with that dope coach and that team. You knew that the Giants were going to be skells. You thought you were going to be able to beat up on the Commanders twice a year. And now look at you. You suck, and the Commanders are thriving, and the Eagles are finding their footing, and you're down there in the pile with the Giants. What dreck are they putting on the field? It's embarrassing, and it's awful.
Then what was the... we're going all, is it all just carnival barking for Jerry Jones? Is it all just about, I need to sell these suites and these tickets for this? It can't just be that, right? It can't just be that the whole thing is about just keeping in the crawl on SportsCenter. He couldn't have found this much success doing it that way. And unless it's simply just they're America's team, the spotlight's always been on them since the 70s, because they have more championships than anybody. Maybe that's a part of it, but maybe that we're all in is just, I'm trying to sell tickets, you dumb motherfuckers. The Macho Man didn't really hate the Ultimate Warrior, that type of crap. And Jerry's just, you know, he's pro wrestling us right now.
A lot of people theorize that NBA teams, their goal is just to make the playoffs. They right. don't want, or not even to make the playoffs, but to have a team that could make the playoffs down the stretch, because that means you're getting people in the arena down the final stretch, where in previous years, it'd just be empty. And if you have to go all in to have a championship team in the NBA, you got to spend some money. So the goal for these NBA owners is, we need a team just good enough to be competitive in April. And then we can just figure it out, because we don't have LeBron. We don't have Embiid. We don't have any of the superstars. But if we can get people in our building during these 2 months, that makes the whole season, that puts us in the green. I think Jerry is more in that side of thinking than a lot of other owners that are just, you know, punching the wall thinking, why can't we win? What can I do more to get my team winning? And I'm not saying he doesn't love the team. I think if you are committing that much time to be a GM and to have your hands in literally everything, you have Please. To love football a little bit. But it's over. It's over, Jerry.
I don't know. I almost have more respect for Art Modell types, you know, the fucking let's pack up the team. I don't like the deal, because at least I know who you are. Like, at least I know this is business above all else. Like, don't sit here and pretend like you're trying to win a championship if you're not, if you just want me in that next week's seats. That's a Dan Snyder game. That's a look, Jeff Bostic is going in the Ring of Honor, so come here and watch us get waxed by Philadelphia again. Like, that's I don't like that. Washington is interesting, and I don't want to mitigate winning in the division specifically on the road. But Tor, their defense is not very good. And the Giants were running the football, and Daniel Jones broke his streak. And a win is a win is a win, and it's a divisional win, and they all count. You can't luck your way into 7. I really don't believe that. But I'm watching them play, and because it's an exciting brand of ball, and this is high praise, they remind me a little bit of the Suns, the Phoenix Suns, when they had Nash and Stoudemire and all those guys, because they were so much fun to play, watch. They were scoring 130 points a game, but anyone that knew basketball was like, well, they can't play defense, right? Like, they can't keep this tempo up in the postseason. They're going to get beat up. I don't know if that's a fair comparison, but because the expectations have been raised now for Washington inside that division, and specifically because the Cowboys are a shadow of what we thought they were going to be, and you're looking at Sirianni thinking this clown isn't built for war. Like, he's not going to go into a gritty divisional fucking game in the postseason and win screaming at the fans the way that he does. I don't know. I don't like people that like to qualify and woulda, shoulda, coulda on victories, but I don't know what I should expect or what we should expect from them this specific year in the rookie year of Jaden Daniels.
When a team has potential like this, I go back to, especially with Washington, I would think my rationale is, if only they had hit on Chase Young, or if only they hadn't sold and Montez Sweat was still rushing on the edge. If they had one real playmaker on that defense, but it's a defense full of dudes, and Dan Quinn knows how to coach up a defense to get by with the guys when they're limited. And if he has a bunch of talent like he did in Dallas, you can see what he can do. If they had hit on one of those two guys, or if he can just get somebody to start really ascending during the back half of the year, then you got something cooking. But right now, it's just a bunch of pieces doing their jobs, which for the most part, I can't complain about. If you're out there and you're winning football games and you're not getting crushed and the defense is just holding on, like I can deal with that. But it's not like some of these other defenses when you're going out and you, because there's still a bit of that latent, when's the shoe going to drop? Like, when is this team going to put 35 on us? Because they finally figured out our defense. They finally figured out that they could pick on this cornerback, or I have Bobby Wagner cover my running back and man all day. I'm just going to halfback angle his ass all damn day because he's a 13-year vet. They're going to start. Somebody's going to figure it out, and it's going to be painful. And Skins fans are going to be in a bit disarray, and they're a lot of them that are delusional are going to sit here and think, how could this happen? We have such a good record. And no, you do, but it's because the offense is creative and they're doing it in different ways and you won the lottery. It's not because your defense has been doing much for you all year.
I just don't know if you can keep it in your pants if you have an opportunity like this. I mean, they have some stiffer competition coming up, but if you're a fucking 11 or 12 win team by the end of the season, Tor, you're going to wish you called about Crosby, or you're going to wish you called about Garrett. Or you're going to wish that you did more and say, man, if we had one or two more pieces, maybe we fuck around, win a championship year one. Then let's talk about, you know, redefining a generation of fans. Let's talk about igniting a fucking dormant monster. All this shit that everybody wants to get to now is like, fuck around and figure out a way to get to 12 wins. I wouldn't want to be the one. That's why I know it's a terrible comparison. I don't hate what the Jets did as far as we're going to go. We think we can do it now. Let's go. I would rather do that than rest on my laurels and say, well, we're going to have Jaden Daniels for the next 15 years. You don't know that. You got to take your swing at relevance right now, just like this man did. He went all in, and I appreciate him. You all right, buddy? Yeah. It's those guys. I like how he pointed up there like, no, it's those dudes. I don't see anybody pushing.
Shut your fucking mouth. Oh,
there goes Monk. Yeah, there you go. He's down.
Dude, if you're a longtime Redskins fan, that exact jersey has been a problem. It's the fucking...
It's always rip a guy off in an Art Monk jersey.
No, you're missing it. You know what that jersey is? That's the rip-off fucking Chinese jersey that you order from overseas.
I'm telling you, the Timu jersey. Yeah.
I mean, first of all, bro, I know you want to be a 2X. I know you do, but we gotta live like we are. I trust his game of having the fucking shirt tucked into the pants so tightly, Tor.
Yeah.
We didn't get no butt crack. But how close was this man to death right here?
It's a terror to think that you're sitting up at the nosebleeds and you get so drunk that you could fall down and crush somebody else's child just trying to watch their first football game. Like, that's a nightmare. And here's another tip. I mean, jerseys, sports jerseys, especially like football and hockey jerseys, get them oversized. That's actually a good look. It's a better look than the skin walking out. if I see anybody walking around in a jersey that's all tight on their arms, look at this maniac.
Sure, yeah. He's throwing tight gang signs, so he's gonna start crip walking. Keep it gangster, y'all. Keep it gangster, and then just falls to his death.
I'm from Loudoun. Oh,
what are you? You're on the road. What are you doing? You're from Manassas, and you're gonna go up to New Jersey and start a bunch of shit in a Bogart jersey. Like, what are you? That's Fugazi, for God's sakes.
What a dickhead. Yeah, I mean that's awesome, but yeah, go a size up on the jersey. It looks better because you're not, it doesn't look like you're
you don't think this is a good look right here.
That's a bad look. It doesn't look good.
Oh, this poor bastard. And the problem is like, I've been that drunk at a football game before, but there wasn't 12,000 journalists that can get a hold of Barstool and get this shit retweeted.
People were wiling out at football games this week. The Georgia-Florida game had multiple fights, just haymakers from fans and cops trying to break it up. You got this animal. You got just a. It was a good day.
This animal. That's another reason, why I just don't need to be a part of it in person. Like, I like watching these clips afterwards from the comfort of my own couch. I don't want to have that guy breathing boozy hot breath on my neck.
You would be hard pressed to find me at a football game, coming up soon, unless it's at some stadium I've never been at before. I don't need to go and sit with that, because I know he would fall on me. That's how my luck would go.
The Skins were without their primary running back. They, by the way, scratched right before the game. Jaden, 209 yards, couple of touchdowns, also had a big run. To be fair, Washington did this more comfortably toward than the final score looked. I think the Giants came back and scored 12 points in the fourth quarter after the game was already in hand, but they did run the football, and it is a bad football team. And again, this is a good win for Washington. This is a very good win for a first year head coach, first year coordinator for them, rookie quarterback. But now you've gone past that. You know, you've gone into, who the fuck was saying it today? It was somebody on, might have been my buddy Jason McIntyre. He used to do the Big Lead. Now he's on Cowherd's show. I don't know if it was him, but I think it might have been, who asked, can we talk about the Commanders being the best team in the NFC? And if you look at the record, it's like, well, yeah, they should be in the conversation, but put the Commanders in a neutral field against the Lions right now. What happens?
Yeah.
I think they lose by 15. Is that?
I think that's fair. I think 15 is a good baseline between the two. I'm sure the spread would be something disrespectful, like 7.5.
Sure.
But I would say they're firmly cemented in the top five in the NFC. I would take conversations on top three. I would have those conversations. Not in love with it, but I think their resume so far, with what the expectations were, if we want to pit those two together, they're doing good. And sweeping the Giants, that's huge for a team that has felt like they can never sweep the awful, piss poor New York Giants.
Yeah.
Get that done. That's massive.
So it looks like they are the 2 seed right now, right below the Lions. Lions 7-1. They've already had their bye. Falcons are sitting there at 6-3. You got the Cardinals at the head of the NFC West, which is surprising. Vikings after that, and then the Igs and Packers with these wild card spots. Interesting enough, over here, Tor, in the AFC, no surprises with the Chiefs and the Bills up there at the 1 and 2 seed. Steelers, I still don't know what to think about them in the postseason. The Texans, if I had to pick one team that everybody should be a little more hesitant about, I really think there's a formula now for Houston where if you get after CJ Stroud, like if you beat him up and you got guys that can rush the passer, you're going to be able to make him uncomfortable. Now, I want to be fair with all the injuries they've had at wide receiver, especially, you know, your big acquisition this offseason, Stephon Diggs. He's not going to be able to help you, but I don't know, man. I look at this AFC tour and I say, why can't the Cincinnati Bengals get their shit together? They have the best quarterback right now, arguably in the league at 4-5, and figure out a way to bust this party up. There's not a lot of teams on this list that I wouldn't give the Bengals a really good shot at being competitive with.
Yeah, after the Ravens at 5, it's all slop. And I think that the Bengals at 4-5, that number doesn't scare me at all. I think that they could rip off and go 2-1 for every 2-1 for the remainder of their games. I think that Joe Burrow, people are pointing out that whole interaction that he had with Jermaine Burton. They're reporting that he was not even looking at him on the sidelines all game, and he's just angry. And like, okay, you know
good.
Good. Yeah, Shit, yeah, man. We're trying to win. And I am trying to will this team to life on my back. And he's doing it. Keep doing it. I want the Bengals to be good. I don't want to have to see a sloppy team make it in that seventh seed. I want to see the Bengals start ripping games off. I want to see a team that gets hot, that can challenge the Chiefs. I like that their running backs are starting, that Chase Brown is starting to really find his footing. And if they can just get Higgins and Chase on the outside together, I don't know if there's a defensive backfield stopping them.
And Chase Brown has been, you know, he's the guy that Zach Moss, we thought he was going to be him, but he's going to be a difference maker for this team. Joe Burrow, 5 touchdowns. He's become the only player with multiple games of 5+ touching, 5+ passing touchdowns in the 2024 season. Tori, he's been, I hate that dude, but he's been that fucking dude for, you know, ever since the 2 weeks into the season. They just haven't been able to put it together. And like you said, they've had some injuries as well. But you go out there, he's angry, he's pissed off. They blow the fucking doors off the Raiders. They're getting coordinators fired left and right. They're villains, man. Like, the Bengals are heels, and they don't give a shit. They're the Rowdy Roddy Piper of the NFL, and that's why they can go into – they're going to go to the Tokyo Dome and spit in Hulk Hogan's face. Like, they don't give a fuck. And that's why I'm really excited for them to keep chopping wood. I can't imagine the Ravens don't end up with that division, though. Like, I respect Russell Wilson. I respect Mike Tomlin. I respect the Steelers, but – after what we saw from the Ravens yesterday, responding to a little, you know, a couple of games where they'd like to have back, I just can't imagine they're not one of the best teams in the league.
Yeah, that first game against Baltimore, Cincinnati is still wishing they had that one back. Yeah. Where it was the muff snap, it was the field goal nonsense, and then Baltimore kicks a big one to win it. That puts Cincinnati at 5-4. That puts Baltimore at 5-4 right now. And then they're matching up in 2 weeks in a crucial one. But yeah, I still think it's Baltimore. I still think they have the best team. And I think it's because of that guy. Yeah, right there. That is the icer. That is the closer. He's the Mariano Rivera. He's everything that you want on a team at this stretch of the season where you're just killing guys' souls.
Maybe somebody in the chat will know. I don't know how you would even Google this. Has a running back ever led the league? Has there ever been a triple crown running back where it's rushing yards, rushing attempts, rushing touchdowns? Has that ever fucking happened? Because we're looking at a graphic right now. If you're listening to the podcast, Derrick Henry is first in the league in all three of those things. He scored every week. And that's why, look, man, we saw the Browns. The Browns are what they are. They got that boost from the same boost that the Panthers got from Andy Dalton. This shit happens, man. You put a veteran in that knows how to play, knows the offense. They can give a team a different look. They can give them a burst of energy, but they regress to the means. I don't hold that against Baltimore for that game. Is it the Raiders game, I think, is the one they're really going to look back on and say, man, we should have had that one. I just think that if Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson are healthy in cold outdoor weather month, what are you gonna do? What the Hulkamania? I hate to keep using wrestling examples, but they're gonna run wild on you. I don't know a defense that can stop them. Now, Kansas City has added some pieces, and they're gonna get healthy, and they're gonna get Pacheco back, and they're always gonna be who they are. But if it's close and it's late third quarter, early fourth quarter, and these guys are marching down the field, beating the shit out of you, like, who would you look at right now, Tor, and say has the personnel to match up with that? Because it's a very short list of teams.
Yeah, I'd agree. It looks like, I think the last NFL running back triple crown was Jonathan Taylor in his huge season in 2021.
Really?
But before that, it goes back to like the 1940s with Bill Dudley, Steve Van Buren, and Sammy Ball.
I sleep on Jonathan Taylor, man. I really do. I think it's just because the injuries have been such a problem for him. But
I thought there was so much potential. I thought he was going to be a week in, week out game breaker, and he had a really good season. And I've just had to learn that he had a really good season, and he's a good NFL running back, but he's not Derrick Henry. He's not going to be that guy.
Measuring stick games are a real thing. I don't want to be too scatterbrained here. I want to focus on Denver's 5-4. They were 5-3 coming into this game. They were baby faces. They had just come off that shellacking of Carolina. I think Bo Nix had 3 touchdowns in that game, so people were slobbing on the knob real good. I've heard, he, you know, people said he didn't play poorly in this game. He had one interception, no touchdowns. I just don't know how you can really be complimentary of any team that loses 41-10. And I think Baltimore kind of wanted to reestablish themselves as we're the class of this division. I know people are having a little bit of fun with the fact that you know, they bring in a new wide receiver. He don't catch nothing. But Zay Flowers is going to benefit from that guy. And he went fucking hog wild. 5 catches, 127 yards, 2 touchdowns. He is taking the next step in his game. And you could make as much fun of wide receivers not eating in Baltimore that you like, but there are opportunities to make big plays in an offense that cannot be stopped on the ground. And all those guys have to do is be in the right place at the right time. And they've got, they're going to have two legitimate threats on the outside to go with those two tight ends in the middle and that rushing attack. I don't know, man. They seem to be wired for a championship this year.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
I think so. With the measuring stick, if people were glazing Bo Nix, 19 for 33, 223 and a pick, look at the other guy across from you. 3 incompletions, 280 yards, 3 touchdowns, just and a perfect QB rating.
Yeah.
That's what you do. That is what you do if you're seeing a Denver Broncos team with a good defense. I don't think they're a great defense anymore, but a good one come into your house and you're saying, all right, you want to be frisky for the first quarter? You want to only have a one-score deficit? Well, we're going to put up 17 in the second, 14 in the third, and you're going to be suffocated by the end of it. And that was just a stomping. I have no ill will towards Denver this year. I think they're fine. They don't really make it.
I don't like Sean Payton. I don't care for the way Sean Payton goes about his business.
He's a dickhead, but Bo Nix is like the opposite of a dickhead, so I think they cancel out for me.
Let's take a look here. What's moving ahead? Cincinnati, that's a big showdown. Thursday night, by the way, too. We're 3 days away from Bengals-Ravens on Thursday night football. Imagine being in the AFC North. Steelers right after that. Then they get the Chargers, then the Eagles. Man, that is a four-pack of games right there. Lucky enough for the Ravens, though, Giants after that. Can't imagine why that coach hasn't been fired. All right, well, let's talk about it. There's only been two coaches fired, correct? Not making that up. You think Alvin Kamara wishes he would have? There was all those fake reports about a week or so back where it's like he's requested a trade and he comes out demonstrably on X and says, I don't want to trade, blah, blah, blah. You think he wishes he would have requested a trade today after that game?
If he had known it was coming, maybe I'm on a contender. Maybe I'm bringing some life to a team.
Dennis Allen, I think, is the only head coach to be fired from two different franchises with the same starting quarterback, which is,
yeah.
Wow, is that fucking wild, man.
Kiss of death.
I didn't see Michael Thomas headhunting fucking his former quarterback online as viciously as he did. I didn't have that in my playbook, but he certainly was. And it comes on, you know, in response to this Olave fucking murder ball that got thrown up, and Robert Griffin III is such a fucking low down scumbag on X where he comes up, quarterbacks have to stop throwing. It's like, all right, well, first of all, put his name in your mouth if you want to talk shit. Also, your reaction farming Saints fans, I'm watching you. I started calling him out on the Both Types of Sports fucking Twitter account because it's so obvious what he's doing.
He never threw a hospital ball.
No, and shit.
The Thanksgiving game, a rookie year ball to Pierre Garçon. I've never seen a ribs more spread out like an accordion when he had to reach back and grab that thing. Give me a break.
I don't want to defend that throw because it was pretty vicious, but it's not Carr's fault that this is a player with a history of concussions. He had one earlier in the season. He had him. And I mean, there's a hard talk. It's not a Tua talk yet, Tor, but that's a fucking hard talk right there about, you know, what you're going to do moving forward. I'm not saying he needs to start considering retiring, but you need to start considering some of your options, because if the concussions start happening more rapidly, I think we all agree that's not a good thing. But the Saints firing their coach after that 2-0. What a wild beginning to the season where they were number one in some power rankings, then just to fall off the map like they have and get their coach whacked. That's rough, man.
It is like my Super Bowl. It's all I care about. I was so happy. I was so happy today. The news just rolled in. I said, oh, no way. Bryce Young comes back in the game. Bryce Young is back. And now he is signing you off, Dennis Allen. Here's your hook. We don't want the number one overall pick. We're going to have this 5'9" bag of garbage carve you up and send you walking because you haven't done dick in New Orleans. And I love it. I love that he had that awful, stupid roller bag at every game. He walked like a weirdo. He always talked like a weirdo. I didn't think he was a good coach. And now he's gone. And the Saints are now doing what all the other basement garbage teams do, where they're having to fire midseason and we're going to try to rally and maybe get above 500, like some of the players are saying on Twitter. And
they don't want that. You don't fire your head coach if you want to win games, unless you're the Giants. I'm the Giants. I believe they did it, but you know what they want. They're embracing the tank, and you know that's fine. I firmly believe, Tor, I know that people are saying it's 7 straight games. Now, if you lose to the Panthers, you have the right to fire your head coach. I think that's a universal truth. I did have that pulled up here if we want to take a look at it. This is the Tankathon rankings right now, percentage to get the first overall pick. 10-1, Jets. The Titans really did themselves a disservice this weekend by having the balls to beat the New England Patriots. A lot of people thought I was really nut flexing about that on X. It was very funny. Miami, I'd fire that coach. Giants, I'd fire that coach. Vegas, I'd fire that coach. Cleveland, I'm keeping Stefanski for the haul. Carolina, who cares? New Orleans already did it. Jacksonville, I'd fire that coach. And New England, I'd fire that coach too. Honestly, I've seen enough. These are all garbage teams. And it goes to show you that in this league, you got to have quarterback and you got to have head coach. And if you don't have both, you're going to struggle. And I guess maybe you could point Miami towards the exception of that rule, because technically Tua Tagovailoa is healthy right now and they've had a head coach that can draw up an offense. But none of these teams in this top 10 surprised me here.
Yeah, I'm definitely firing McCarthy for Dallas. I'm maybe firing Indianapolis's head coach. I've never liked Rex Ryan as much as I did this past weekend, where he had a new
nickname. Firing. Wait a minute. After Flacco, because of one bad performance from Flacco.
You know what? I need somebody that looks like they're alive. That's coaching the Indianapolis Colts, and not somebody that looks like they're pulled out of a burn after reading room with a big suit and tie.
Shane Steichen is universally respected amongst football people. And also the Colts are not a bad team. That's a very weird situation there, Ear. Richardson is a unique type of clown. We've never, well, he is. We've never seen it. Have you ever seen a fucking quarterback tap and get taken out of a game and then gone up there? Not one veteran gets a hold of him and says, hey man, say that you got the wind fucking knocked out of you. Whatever you do, don't go up there laughing and smiling, smoking and joking and say you're too tired to play football.
Never seen anything like that in my life, ever. You're the quarterback. No wonder you got benched. He should have. I don't know what they're going to do, though. I think, like, if you really want to develop him, you've got to throw him back in at some point this season. But if you want to make the playoffs in the garbage AFC, you got to ride with Flacco.
How about he's a bad quarterback, too? Okay. How about if he wasn't a fucking Abrams tank? Think about how bad his numbers would be. Take away his rushing touchdowns. Look at his completion percentage. And there's quarterbacks with worse offensive lines that have a better completion percentage than Anthony Richardson. It's just the only reason we're having this conversation is because of where he's drafted. That always drives me fucking nuts, because people would rather go down with a ship trying to save their job, sticking with a quarterback too long. The Colts have a playoff caliber franchise. They have talent all over the board. And Joe Flacco went to the playoffs last year in the AFC. It was giving the Chiefs everything they wanted, or whoever. Oh, I forgot. Who was he fucking playing against? I think benching fucking going with Flacco with that roster is the right move in that case. Just like going back to Bryce Young for the Panthers is the right thing, because you have nothing else to work for.
I think that we need to change the combine. We need to have, I think it was Johnny Manziel, that it was either the combine or his pro day, showed up in full pads and did his throwing there and said, this is how I throw. This is what I look like. I'm not going out in my underwear. I am in my pads with my helmet, and I'm going to start throwing dots all over the place. Whether he had some other off the field issues, sure. But I think that's what we need to do with the combine. I'm sick of these guys that just have the shoulders and they got the abs and they got the leg muscles and they're just trying to hit that top video board in Indy. Sick of it. Go out there in the pads. Tell me that I know you can't see through the blind spots in your helmet. So let's actually analyze it there. This whole combine coverage, change it. I don't care. It means nothing to me how fast you run in your britches. It means everything to me what it feels like when you got the 8 pounds of pads on you. And you got a helmet and you got vision blockers, all of that. That Anthony Richardson combine is the most detrimental thing that could have happened to him. Because they drafted him at 4. He should have been a third round quarterback.
Well, Levis looks like a G.I. Joe. I mean, he's got muscles on top of muscles. That shit don't mean nothing to me. Dude, you love shitting on the Bills? I do. What are your thoughts now? Congratulations, you beat the Dolphins at home on the longest field goal ever. What the fuck are you talking about? I love shitting on the Bills? Since when? When do I love shitting on the Bills? I thought the Bills window was closed this season. Yes, I did. You know who else did? Everybody else.
Yeah.
Everyone we had on the show to talk about. What are you talking about? They're the 2 seed. Congratulations. They get to lose to the Ravens or the Chiefs. They're soft. They're cotton soft. I'm sorry, bud. You want to pretend you're a hardo franchise because you know, it's a fucking snowy city. That's great. But we've seen what this team does with this coach in the playoffs. We've seen what this. Look, if I'm making a list of MVP candidates, who's above Josh Allen right now? Like, how many guys do you have above Josh Allen's name? Probably one, maybe two. But what? To what end? I'm shitting on the Bills. Here's what I do with the Bills, sir. I watch the Bills, and then I formulate an opinion. That's all I do with all these fucking teams. The only team, I don't have a personal agenda against any team. I have personal agendas against fan bases, and yours is a moronic one. You guys fucking hang your hats on injuring yourselves in the parking lot through flaming tables, and I think you're stupid. I think you're a dumb fan base. You stay in a place where you have to shovel your roof. You care too
much. I would have liked to see them beat Miami by more than 3 points and in that fashion. Miami's terrible, and McGenius, as he was described by Rex Ryan, his leash is getting much shorter, in my opinion, because it seemed like he was a lot of fluff, a lot of shtick, and he was just a young, sleek guy. That had one
a
of these brilliant
guy.
Had one of these brilliant minds. Oh, I gotta give me a Rain Man in my operation here. I'm an NFL team. I don't want an NFL player. I don't want a guy that looks like he's lifted weights or has done a lat pull down before in his life. No, I want a guy that looks like he's been working at Microsoft for the last decade. That's what I want. And I'm gonna put him in Miami and let him vape on the sideline with bad sunglasses, no socks. What a joke. You know why Dan Quinn works in Washington? Because he's got a backwards cap with no snap on it. It's just sitting there, turned around, and he's got a fat lip in on the sidelines. That's why he works.
It's a terrible look. Are you defending the stupid dad slouch cap backwards on a head coach? It's the worst look in the league.
I'm defending what it represents.
Fuck
a guy
that
is not sitting there looking to get snapped up by Getty Images to post it on his Instagram.
Turn your ball cap around and pretend like you're the professional in the room. I wear short sleeve shirts under long sleeve shirts under short sleeve shirts. You look like a fucking guy that should be carrying the footballs out onto the field, for God's sakes. You know you should look like that guy from the fucking Lions. Everyone should want to look like him. Giant, heaving pecs, dry fit, cap forward. It looks like Dorothy handed him a helmet and pads. He could go out there and pressure, get some pressures on the quarterback for a couple of goddamn series.
And he would want to. And he thinks that he would be able to. He's and you know what? I think that he would be able to also. I can't get enough of his post-game speeches. Why can't
I almost pulled it again, him giving out the game balls because he's so goddamn, he makes me want to run through a brick wall. And I'm sorry, did you see the video of Mike McDaniel in his joggers, like dancing through the warm-up line? And I'm like, how is he supposed to be a leader of men conducting himself like that? And whatever the opposite of that is Dan Campbell.
I go back to all those losers talking about that initial press conference, the bite the kneecaps press conference. Everyone laughed. Everybody called me a madman. They called me bubble boy. Look at you. Look at me now. Look what I'm doing now. We're biting kneecaps. It took a year. It took a year and a half, but we're legit. And I got a big red nose, and I don't care who sees it.
How about winning in Lambeau with a big red nose and your two best defensive players out of the game? One for the fucking season, one on a bullshit ejection. Which, by the way, I forgot. I might have been Florio. Somebody was pearl-clutching about Tom Brady, saying that was the wrong call. They're like, he's an owner of the league now. He owns a franchise. He's going to get fined because he's criticizing the... There wasn't one football person on earth that looked to that and said it's anything other than the league wanting to make a statement and being trigger happy. They were throwing out players left and right for some reason Sunday because somebody was bored and sat on their ass and said, I better start doing my job or I'm not going to have it next year. That was a ridiculous call, and it could have been something that the Lions could have allowed to creep into their subconscious and take their foot off the throttle, and they didn't. They ran the ball up the Packers' ass and beat them in Lambeau. And by the way, now, Tor, they've won in Minnesota and they've won in Green Bay. They're the best team in the NFC.
I'm going to tell everybody something about Tom Brady if you're worried about him. Nobody's thinking of him as an owner. That is like the eighth thing that comes to mind when you think of Tom Brady. It's best quarterback ever, married the hottest woman ever. Now he's broadcasting. He got drunk on a boat with drinking tequila in Tampa Bay. Bill Belichick comes up. And now he got divorced.
That's you're really sick. Painting with some broad strokes here. I can't wait to see where you're going with this horrible point.
And then seven is his now embarrassing Instagram stories. Now
you're saying the avocado fucking vodka is way ahead of any of the ownership stuff that we're worried about.
The ownership stuff is so pedantic. I'll never ever think of him as, oh, Tom Brady, the businessman owner. No, it's not. That's below him kissing his kids, and I don't even care about.
I like him as the color commentary guy, too. I think he does a fine job, and I think he's already better than he was at the beginning of the season. Suck my balls. And I don't know how he keeps getting younger and more handsome. I also don't care. Oh, boy. I love the Lions being good, man. Not just being good, but being the best. And I think, look, when they reach their final form, the Chiefs deserve the benefit of the doubt, Tor. But who would you pick to beat Detroit right now? Detroit can win on the road. Detroit has the best home field advantage in the league. Detroit's got a thunder and lightning package in the black and the backfield that you cannot stop. They've got skill position players everywhere. Goff going outside tour in the fucking weather in Lambeau, something that we didn't think that he could do when outside. I mean, they are making statement after statement each week.
Yeah, turnover prone Goff, 14 touchdowns to 4 picks on the year.
Man,
hell of a season. You know what? He's never going to be MVP candidate, realistically. But he is having a great year. He's a leader of this team. I think it means something that him being there, being a really confident, solid quarterback, means everything to that team. Because if this was the typical Lions, they'd be working through the mush at whatever quarterback that they would have to throw out there. And no, we got a grown-up. We got a guy that's going to distribute the ball. It's great. I can't wait to watch them on Thanksgiving. Just give it to the Bears. I wish the Bears are more competitive for that matchup, but it's going to be a thrilling one.
Is Dallas playing the Giants on Thanksgiving? Please tell me that's the early game. Please tell me that's not a game. The most important game is the late game, because I've slept off the trip to Fan and I am now headed out to get fucked up. Like, that's my most important game. But the late game, it better be the Lions, because I don't want to sit through Dallas and the Giants after I've had my meal.
I just got to. Okay, so early slate, Bears versus Lions.
Oh, god damn it.
Second slate, Giants versus Cowboys.
So it's nap time. Nap time in a big way, Jack.
That's going to be a toxic Twitter, because they're just going to be crushing both those teams. Dolphins, Packers.
Okay.
Which could be better. The Dolphins put up a fight this last week. If it was early season Dolphins, I might go to the casino instead of watch that game.
How concerned are you that Jordan Love can't stay healthy? How concerned are you that we're just anointing him the next Favre and the next Rodgers when those guys have 7 MVPs in between them?
Yeah.
Why are they scared to bench him, Tor? Why are they scared to put Malik Willis in if that guy's too hurt to go?
I'm really not loving that. Either are going to determine that this is a year that we're competing, or and that means you're going to bench him for 3 weeks and let him get fully healthy, which they didn't. He came back a week too soon. We saw that. He had an awful injury in week 1. We saw that. And if you really want to make a run this year, he can't keep playing every single game. You can just visually see it. And if you don't want to be all in this year, then you let him play every single game. And then he goes down at the end of the year with some awful injury.
And if he's worried about Malik Willis after what that organization has invested in him, then you've made the wrong call. If he's sitting there with 1 second of Malik Willis's production or record going through his brain, because there's nothing, there's no option there. To put a button on the Bills thing earlier, the Bills have now won 6 straight and 13 of the past 14 against Miami tour. That's including the playoffs. Sean McDermott is 15-2. Against the Dolphins since becoming the Bills head coach. You cover college football, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're getting hired at Ohio State or you're getting hired at Michigan State, there's one goal that comes before national championship. You have to be competitive against your rival. You must.
Yes.
And if I'm sitting there at Miami, I'm sitting there saying, we can't. The first thing we have to figure out is why we are we've been dominated for decades by this Buffalo Bills team, but we've got to fix that moving forward. It's got to be, 1A of what they're going to interview their next head coach for.
Ryan Day has like only lost, I think, 5 games coaching Ohio State, and he's had him in the college football playoff like every year that he's been a coach there. But he's lost 3 straight to Michigan while Harbaugh was there, and people wanted his head. They said, this is not possible. You can't keep on losing to Michigan. Well, now this year, Michigan is garbage, and he's going to get that monkey off his back and he's going to get past it. That's simply because Michigan is garbage and they literally don't have a quarterback and they're going to get by, and that's just going to be the situation. But it means something to beat the teams that you play every single year. And Miami just continuously struggling against the Bills, and the Bills didn't even run the ball well that game. I think James Cook had like 44 yards, which is not what the Bills are. The Bills are really good at, we're going to run it at you. You can't stop us. And then we're going to have the big Sasquatch throw it 80 yards down the field.
Hey, look, I'm glad you brought it up, Tor, because if you're talking about elevated expectations, like, you need Keon Coleman or you need Dalton Kincaid. We know it's, these pieces on this team that do well are all well and good, but we know who the high-level players are and where they were drafted. Those guys have to start excelling in that offense if they want to be a championship-caliber team, and they're not right now. They're not. 10 targets with 4 catches is not going to work for Dalton Kincaid, and that's not just fantasy bitterness. Oh, look at this super chat. I thought maybe it was fucking broken. Thank you, Enoch, for the $5 super chat. Am I too late to quadruple down on my team? Raise hail. Hey, look, man, raise hail is really embarrassing, and I'm embarrassed for you every time you say it, but I am happy for your team. Oh, and congratulations, Enoch is 1-for-1. Had a brand new baby boy, much to his wife's chagrin. Thank you.
Oh, so way to be, Enoch.
Isn't that nice? Very nice of Enoch. I did want to mind if I vent for just a second, Tor? I'd love to get your thoughts. Well, people don't believe me that when the Redskins win, or whatever they are now, the Hawkeyes, that I take shit constantly. And I didn't pull all of them, but I pulled some of them. And I just wanted to kind of take you through it. This was from Jay Quimby. Sure you wish you were still repping the burgundy and gold? I responded, yes, the burgundy and gold, and put up a picture of, who is that, Tor? Is that Ben Roethlisberger? I'm not sure who that is on the camera.
Oh, that's Commanders legend Carson Wentz. Remember they were begging for him to come back? I'm sure he was going to play better than Heinicke.
Oh, boy. I saw Falcons legend Desmond Ridder get some PT this week, actually. I was happy for you, bud.
He stinks.
You were never a Redskins fan. You were some casual poser. Don't ever come back. Casually posing for 41 years like I'm a supermodel, I responded to that. It's a weird mix I get, Tor, of people that demand that I come back and be a Commanders fan and people that never want me to come back and be a Commanders fan. I'm not sure which is more influential, though.
I think a call from his dad would be most influential. Why don't you get that off your chest first, Robert?
Maybe a big hug. That might be nice. Let me see here. I think I got one more. Yes. Yes, indeed. This is from a Twitter named Woodpecker Lips. Maybe it's the curse of Dukes. He leaves to be a Titans fan, and they turn into the Redskins and become a laughingstock. Meanwhile, in Washington, and a grown man using a crying emoji. And I respond that, of course, he didn't see the big win over the New England Patriots, which I was very excited about. Look, I'm going to say this, and I hope some of you that don't hate my guts will help me whenever I get approached by these motherfuckers. And that is, A, I am happy for all of my friends except Enoch that fucking are enjoying the Commanders doing well. I think Ray's hail is really embarrassing, and I'm embarrassed for all of you that just decided to embrace it, just like I'm embarrassed for all of you that are okay with the fucking Washington Redskins cosplaying as the Pittsburgh Steelers. The fans that I fucking chewed my teeth with, cut my teeth with, would never be okay with that, would never pretend like those are the cleanest uniforms in the league. You're fucking embarrassing. Also, that you're just going to put your head into the sand until Jaden Daniels breaks his fucking leg. Like, just at least acknowledge the fact that's still an issue. That's the only problem that I really have. But the part where I take offense is the part where you motherfuckers think it has something to do with a win-loss record. And you think I can be bought by half of a good season. I cannot. I did not. That team was family to me. I came from three generations of fans of that fucking team. When I was screaming and LeVar was ruining it by saying, get him, it had nothing to do with being a casual fan. I was overly invested. I'm older and wiser now, but I cannot be bought because the Titans are currently bad and Washington is currently good. If that is what your character makeup is, then I feel sorry for you and the people in your life. That is not what my character makeup is. Thank you, honey. I would like a Topo Chico. I'm screaming at 123 people right now. Sorry, Tori, you were saying.
Yeah, it's just, I get it. You are a curse. It is tough. But it's been a long.
You get it? I am cursed. Is that what you said?
Yeah, like it's just more and more evident. I wish I could like that. That woodpecker lips.
You should been. You should get away, brother. Woodpecker lips is spot on.
But my embarrassment is it's like all these people have just been seething, grit teeth, angry at this team for 20 years.
Yeah,
and now it's just true faith, reckless abandon. I'm buying front row tickets. I got so many embarrassments in my life that are going to the games. They're sitting front row, taking a picture of Jaden Daniels on the sideline. Like, let's go five, get up for this one. Five. I'm like, I know you're excited. You're real excited, pal. Please don't jinx them. Please don't get all in. Have some understand that God is that God works. All right. And it works with sports. And even if you don't think it's a big man with sandals and a long beard, there's some entity out there that it's cosmic, it's energy based. I know there's CIA documents on karma and energy harvesting. Look, just try to lay low a little bit. Don't go all in buying a bunch of jerseys, singing the left hand up song because you got 7 wins.
They're Malachi Corey. Look, here's what I'm telling you. Barry Sanders handed the ball back to the ref for fucking 9-10 years, right? He's a Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. You're Deshaun Jackson right now with the way you're fucking acting. You're dropping that goddamn ball before you get into the goal line. Take a deep breath and be positive. I just the amount of negativity. That's why I don't think wins and losses. I don't think being a sports fan tour has anything to do with winning. People are just angry and they just put their fucking anger into places where it doesn't need to be. I do it all the time when I'm playing Mortal Kombat. I get mad, kick the dog. Like you need to fucking chill with that shit and realize that I am not a whore on your payroll. Enoch Boat saying $5. I'm a whore on Enoch's payroll because he's super chatting the show. I can't stand those all black unis, and I feel like I'm the only one. Look, if it was, if they had any discernible logo, if they had any identity whatsoever, nothing about what is on their person matches the name of the team or the identity of the surrounding area. Those have nothing to do with whether or not root for the Titans. If it was the Redskins logo with a black helmet and black and maroon and gold, talk to me. I'm open to it. They just look like the Hawkeyes tour. They just look like the Sun Devils alternates. And worst case scenario, they look like the Pittsburgh Steelers. And it's they're all just pretending like that's a good fucking look, and it ain't. It ain't.
They had burgundy and gold. The only team in the NFL with burgundy and gold. You're not sitting here one of the purple teams, one of the green teams, one of the many blue or red teams. No, you had your own thing, and it was the best.
It was the best.
Best by a mile, and you bastardized it. Every time you roll out there and you want to talk about burgundy and gold, it's dark red and it's yellow. It is not the same, and it's really disappointing because you abandoned a perfect premier classic look. It's almost as bad as when the Jaguars wear that white jersey with the black pants and the black helmets, and it just looks like JV Madden team.
Yep.
You can't tell what the logo is. It just looks bad. Some of these teams, I get it. You're going to the minimal style. And unfortunately, there's been too much change for this team in such a short amount of time that it's probably going to be another 5 years before they get the sense knocked back into them. But as close as you can get to burgundy and gold with a stripe down the side of the pants, some piping on the shoulders, whatever you want to do with the helmet, the logo, the name, make it a yellow helmet. Make it a burgundy helmet. Make it a white helmet.
How about you do that? How about you do that?
Look at that masterpiece.
That's Wilbur Marshall, by the way, who I think he's not in the Hall of Fame, which is a crime against humanity. Look at the neck roll. You want to scream about gold pants all day long? You go ahead and do it. Nobody's got that color combo. You look completely unique. It looked legendary. Tour had a mystique to it, and now they're just trying to turn them into a McDonald's team, and everyone's just fucking smiling and nodding and going along with the block script fucking W. It's like, what are you doing, man? You can still be a fan and acknowledge cornball shit. You see the Titans fucking, they're putting out recipes for game day appetizers as they're getting their brains beat in by horrible teams. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Set your Facebook account to private, you morons. You don't know how stupid you look right now. And Ray's hail is incredibly embarrassing. And those black uniforms are incredibly embarrassing. Put them away for the rest of the season. You are 7-2. You are leading the NFC East. How about we fucking act like it?
You want to be identifiable with the people around you, and you want to be able to relate to them, and you want to have something unique in the NFL. Why do I love the Falcons red helmets with the old Blackbird logo and the black best unis? Because they're the best, and they meant something, and it was the best thing going at one point, and it means something to every Atlanta Falcons fan. That's why. Not because I think that the triangles on the bird are aesthetically pleasing, but because what that represents. And the burgundy and gold represents everybody in the DMV watching a good team for so long with a uniqueness. You get shown on Sunday Night Football, you're wearing your shit. You're not wearing someone else's shit. They're showing the Iwo Jima statue. They're showing the Pentagon. They're showing all the stuff in your area. They'll go to Ben's Chili Bowl 10 times, and every single time they'll do that bit. But it's a look into your area, and it has to mean something. And if you're going to abandon a lot of that, then it's gonna piss people off. And it makes me upset because I'm from there and I have to look at a team that is not representing like what we grew up with, what I grew up with, which was burgundy and gold, and now it's just a mess.
When you are looking to book your vacation to the theme parks in Florida, dreamstaygetaways.us is the site you need to go to. They present this little show and make it possible for Tor to be here and Sal's to be here. If you're going to Universal, if you are going to Disneyland during this winter, going down there for the holidays, avoid all of the Airbnb fees, avoid all the Vrbo fees, book their awesome houses directly. Just go to dreamstaygetaways.us. These are houses that are in resorts. They got tennis courts. They got pools. They got movie theaters. You can save money by not going to the parks for one day and just enjoying the amenities. If you got kids, they got awesome theme rooms, Harry Potter and Star Wars and Marvel and all this great stuff. Go to the website. They're on Instagram as well. Give them a follow. You can see all the houses, all the setups. They are beautiful. Again, any of that Florida theme park stuff, anytime you're going, go to dreamstaygetaways.us. Check them out first. Avoid the fees. They are our presenting sponsor for this show. And speaking of this show, Tor, I know that you have some scheduling issues as of late, but on Thursday, I will be joined by the great Sean Salisbury. He was not on last week, not because he didn't want to, but I had a whole bunch of shit going on in my life, including somebody with COVID that decided that they were going to get it unexpectedly, and then I had to go work, and everything is fine. But Sal's is on this week. So if you'd like to go right now to our YouTube page, if you're listening on the podcast, go to youtube.com/Chad Duke Show. There is a link already up there for both types of sports with Sean Salisbury. Thursday, November 7th. That is high noon East Coast time. Check it out. We would love to have you. Thought you were a Titans fan. I am a Titans fan, you piece of fucking shit. Thank you. See the chair? See the shirt? No, I'm doing a wacky bit. It's a 4-year bit tour with no payoff. This is my gay shirt. I can't get out of it. Help me, Ronnie. Oh, boy. I still want to do our Rod and Fez podcast, guy, by the way. You fucking
I do, too. I finally had the balls to dive into Fez and BL, and I caught like 20 minutes of the live stream today. Yeah.
Best,
and I'm about to. I think I'm gonna do a deep dive soon. The photo of him in the wig and the face paint has kind of been very uncomfortable for me, because I know it's going to be very uncomfortable. But I heard some of their fight, and now I am obsessed, and I got to dive in.
It's some of the most uncomfortable radio I've ever heard, but also some of the best. That's why I would highly suggest that you check it out. And then, of course, whenever you're ready, I have arranged for us to do a Ron and Fez podcast. And if people haven't listened, you don't understand that Tor and I are two big radio fucking nerds from two different generations. Well, you only need know that North American Fun is going to be the greatest Ron and Fez podcast of all time. Whenever Tor can figure out he has an hour, it's a very busy schedule. I had no idea that fucking Al Davis was my co-host here. He's being pulled three, four, five hundred different ways. But we find time, young man. You're going to have fun.
I'm too busy to go out to the grocery store. I got to Uber Eats steak tips to my door from a bad restaurant.
I don't even want to fucking... Do you understand? I can't get Beefalo Bob's out of my fucking head. Would you come back? Please fail. Bomb out of your career and come back. You don't have to be a fat loser with three kids that don't love him, but you can at least come back and work on the show. You know the state you left me in on fucking... Tor, I did a live show on Saturday with two mutes on the stage with me that wouldn't get up and move. And they were both so big, I couldn't get somebody up on stage with them to talk. Help me, Tor. Help me. I'm not above begging.
I like
I'm here to cut your hours. I'm here to enhance your hours, you motherfucker. All right, buddy. You had a long day today?
Somewhat, yes. A nice, nice little 5 o'clock wake up. Walk into the cold.
Oh, well, that is a long day.
Hey, what do you got?
Both types of sports.
Yeah, what's it do? Go long. Real long.
Both types of sports.